When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, if you don't know who Jay Shetty is, he is a very famous YouTuber, podcaster. He has, 50 million social media followers, which is insane. He's the author of two best-selling books. People love this guy, and he is a very likable guy. Like, I've seen a couple of his clips, seems a lovely man. He has interviewed huge celebrities like Oprah, Joe Biden, Michelle Obama, Kim Kardashian. I wonder if he got a stiffy during that one. He's also had Will and Jada Pinkett on separately. He's actually even a spiritual advisor to Will Smith. So now we know who to blame for the shit show that Will Smith has become. He even officiated a Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez's wedding. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming it means he pronounced them husband and fucking wife, which is mental. The man's a podcaster. He's also the CEO of an online school for you to become a certified life coach, which apparently awards diplomas the equivalent of a university degree. Now, to say this man is successful would be an understatement, because apparently it costs $100,000 just to book him for public speaking. Each online course that he sells is £7,500 per term, and according to his website, as of today, they have trained over 1,600 new life coaches, which means he's probably made in the region of around about 12 million quid out of that school. That's not including the fact that he is an owner of the Calm app, which a lot of you have heard of. Obviously, he's got sponsors, YouTube revenue, all of that money coming in. The man is loaded, and you can see why, because he's so brand friendly. He's got the most friendly face. He never says anything offensive. Everything he says is very agreeable and nice and kind, and he comes across as a YouTube sponsor's dream. He ticks every box, unlike me. And one of the reasons he is so successful is because of his backstory, and the problem is a few holes in it.
When I was growing up in London, I had three choices: to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure. And I ended up at business school, so I guess I was the third. And I was going to business school, and every week we had CEOs, entrepreneurs, celebrities coming to speak and share their stories. And I was fascinated by how people went from nothing to something.
That might have been where it sparked his brain of, I need a compelling story to make me the most interesting guy in the room.
And one week I was told that this monk was invited. And I actually said to one of my friends, I said, I'm only going if we go to a bar afterwards, because I wasn't interested in hearing a monk's perspective on life.
You know, when you realize that this guy was surrounded by monks most of his life, this is actually hilarious.
He promised me we'd go to a bar afterwards, and it changed my life. It was the most captivating presentation I've ever been to. And he spoke about selflessness and service and kindness.
This is the sale.
So I spent all of my summer holidays from 18 to 22, aged 18 to 22, half of them working in the finance corporate world in suits and driving cars in London, and spending the other half living as a monk in India.
This doesn't add up straight away. Let's be real. People who work in finance in London, you're wankers. I don't mean that in a nasty way. You know you're wankers. You're getting loads of money. You're getting paid to be wankers. But you can't switch that off and just can't be a fucking monk in India half the time, can you? It's either one or the other.
And when I was 22, I decided to turn down my corporate job offers and go and live as a monk in India for 3 years.
Dude, this is the thing, right? When anyone ever comes out with a story like this, immediately we all think of what we would do. We would take the money. You know why? Because we need fucking money to live. Him, on the other hand, he's just better than us. So maybe we should listen to him. And that's right there how people like this get you.
So we meditated for half the day, and the other half we were trying to serve humanity and make a difference in the world.
Could you be more specific? Because meditating is just sitting in a fucking room doing now, isn't it? So like, we'll get what you were doing for half the day. But how were you serving humanity and making a difference? That's the real question. Yeah, where's the proof of that? Sorry, Sarah, where you been? Just serving humanity, making a difference, really. All right, okay then.
So that is why you decided to not just be in India and be a monk. You decided it's better to be able to share this knowledge.
For a price. $7,500 a pop if you want. Just so selfless. Do you know what I mean? If there's one thing about monks, it's about teaching people about life, but for a profit.
But a lot of my friends now worked at large organizations, and they were going through stress and burnout.
Well, they hadn't fucked off to India to be a lazy fucker, had they? That actually applied themselves. Maybe you should have done the same.
And so they started to invite me to speak at their companies.
Wow. So he uses connections to his mates to get the cash in, to pretend like, oh, I've been doing all the enlightenment and all of that. And he's now using his mates for money.
And I started to do that. And I started to see impact inside these organizations. But I really felt, I was like, this knowledge and wisdom needs to reach everyone in the world. It needs to reach further than just corporate boardrooms.
It already has, because other people have said it before. We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Only 3 years ago, I started making these videos, which were these wisdom bites.
So an example of one of these wisdom bites are, do what you did at the start of your relationship and there won't be a finish. That's deep, right? It was very deep when Tony Robbins said it originally. Awkward. Big Tony got there first for that one. Maybe they just had the exact same thought, though. Healing doesn't have to look magical or special. Genuine healing is tough, purifying, and hard work. Don't glamorize change. Let yourself go through it. Don't try and make it anything other than what it is. Another great one from Jay Shetty. Unfortunately, that was originally said by Audrey Kitching. Awkward this. But you might be sat there thinking, just a coincidence. Could easily happen. Maybe he said it first and they copied him. Yeah. Well, a lovely little lady called Nicole Arbour made a video full of examples of Jay plagiarizing other people's work.
We're meant to love people and use things, but today we use people and love things.
I'm laughing because that one's like the most basic of all of them. I've heard that a million times.
We spend more time holding our phones than we hold each other.
She's literally putting the original pose side by side.
You say I love you because I need you. When you grow up, you realize that
he's literally doing it in the same video, though. This is the thing. He's just strung as many of these phrases as possible together to blow you away, as if he's just riffing. He's just coming up with this off the dome.
You realize I need you because I love you.
Oh, well, fuck your mother. It's all of them. You literally steal your everything.
Someone a priority when all you are to them is an option.
He's nailed him, yeah. Like.
Some of us lose the people most important to us because we don't value their time.
Is this reminding anyone else of David Brent?
If we're facing in the right direction, all we have to do is keep on walking.
Are you reading these?
Am I what?
Reading the quotes,
sort of. It doesn't.
Right. Don't Confucius.
Be. Well, Bernard, doesn't matter who said them first. Right. I am passing on my wisdom.
At a price, $7,500 a course. Before you go out and tell everyone, it's about wisdom, right? It doesn't matter who said it first.
All of us have likes on social media, but don't feel loved in real life.
I mean, I do feel pretty loved, actually. I have got likes as well. I guess I'm just one of the lucky few. Feel sorry for all you losers.
So many of us can get comments on our posts, but can't get a friend to call us back.
At least I've got you lot commenting on this video. Thanks. It means a lot. All this is about is just making you feel better about how shit your life is. That's really the root of all of this. And that's why women love it, especially single ones living with their cats. Sorry, girls, but it's you I'm looking at. Just get a boyfriend. Do you know? Anyway, I suppose that's tricky when he won't call you back, but you can get comments on your social media post.
Investing our money in experience rather than things.
He's just literally a walking, you know, motivational post, isn't he? Just blurting it out over and over again. How does he memorize this shit? And where does he find it all? He probably just looks through hashtags.
Lonely is not being alone. It's the feeling that no one loves you.
Usually when I feel lonely, it's when I'm alone. So you get the point. He's got a great story, loads of wanky posts, sold a bunch of books. Everyone loves this guy. Now, recently, Jay Shetty's team invited a independent journalist to write a piece on him for Esquire magazine because he was releasing a new book called 12 Rules for Love. Now, the journalist, who's called John McDermott, a very good journalist by the looks of it, had never been familiar with Jay Shetty's work before, so he was coming into this blind. John goes to one of Jay's live shows, which I don't know if you've ever seen like a Tony Robbins live show before, but this is where blokes who are full of their own self-importance and feel like they've got all the answers stand on stage and tell you exactly how to live your fucking life. Now, weirdly, and this is true, he started his off with a rap because apparently he wanted to be a rapper as a kid. I've actually got some of the lyrics here. Shorty had them apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, the whole club was looking at her. This is Flo Rida. He plagiarizes everything. No, he didn't actually. I'm actually bullshitting. Unlike him, I will tell you when I'm lying. He then brought a woman on stage into a sensory chamber to prove that we all struggle without our mobile phones. That is so deep. We knew we struggled without our mobile phones about 10 years ago. He's trying to be really like, I'm just going to freak them out. In reality, like, yeah, we don't like leaving our phones. Like, tell us something we don't. I thought we were paying for this to find out things we don't know yet. Man, I took your phone away. You just freaked out. You just did not know who was calling. Apparently, the rest of the room were watching her through a live stream and the woman was absolutely unaware of this. So she's just floating around, probably scratching a minge or whatever. No idea that this lot are watching. Invasion of privacy, some would say. And this is my favourite bit, because Tony Robbins does this sometimes. He asks someone from the audience, is anyone out there struggling with in a relationship or someone who you haven't seen in a long time? Tell me. People put their hands up, you know what I mean? One woman says that she'd, you know, lost touch with her brother. Now, in the Tony Robbins, you know, videos, and this is the ones that he actually puts in where it works, obviously he doesn't put in the bit where they ring the brother answer saying, fuck off. He gets them back together and heals the wounded relationship. So he tries to do the same thing. He rings the estranged brother with her on stage, and brother doesn't pick up. It's awkward. He then calls again, still doesn't pick up. It's getting really awkward now. He then makes her leave a voice note on the answer machine. And apparently, people in the crowd near the journalist, other women were saying, this is absolutely mortifying. But this was worth the money. So, yeah, wow. I really got something from that today, did you? Oh, changed my life. So after seeing what was a shit show of a presentation, the journalist decides, I'm going to dig a little deeper, because instead of writing a piece about how great this guy is, I'm actually going to look into how legit this guy is. It feels like he's talking bollocks. John then discovered the video that we've seen made by the lady who went through all of the plagiarism. And once he realizes, okay, this guy has no problem repeating other people's hard work as if it's his own, he clearly is probably doing a lot more. I'm going to dig a little deeper, and I'm going to go and ask the people who actually know this guy if he's legit or not. So he started interviewing his schoolmates, former employees, graduates of his life coaching school, even high-ranking members of ISKCON, which is the Hare Krishna movement that monks are obviously in, which apparently was what inspired Jay in the first place. They claimed that his story about living as a monk for 3 years is a huge misrepresentation of the truth. They said he spent a couple of months in India at best and was mostly living in Watford. I'll be fair to him though, if you're sat in front of Ellen and she's like, so were you a monk for all that time, you're not going to say, well, mainly in Watford, did a couple of weeks in India, wasn't really a monk. It doesn't sound as good. And if there's one thing I've learned from YouTube, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Was I really a deep sea diver, or did I just go snorkeling? They also claimed that Jay's story about having a huge revelation after he met a monk for the first time was a lie, as he grew up within the religion of ISKCON. So this idea that he was this high-flying exec who then met a monk and had his mind blown, no, he just grew up around them. That's how he knows so much. So there was no epiphany. How can you have an epiphany about meeting your first monk when you've been surrounded by them the whole time? And that's the point of, if your whole story is based around this moment and it's bollocks, then how much of what you're saying do you really fucking believe? And the story apparently is inconsistent. Sometimes he says the enlightenment happened when he was 18, sometimes when he was 21. There's actually footage of him rapping. What is it with all the rapping? In front of a monk. Just stop rapping, Jay. It's not going to happen for you. Just because your name's Jay doesn't mean you should be rapping. Go on, son. Kill the beat. Just to be clear, this is about a year before he was supposed to have met the monk for the first time and reached enlightenment. And he sat here getting backing beats from a monk with a violin wearing an Eminem t-shirt. But don't let that throw you off.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
His story. I'm sure he's still enlightened. It's really mad that the music career didn't take off, isn't it? So surprised. So in his book, Think Like a Monk, he claimed that I traded my suits for robes and joined ashram where we slept on the floor and lived out of gym lockers and travelled across India, UK and Europe. The journalist who was investigating him found a blog he kept called The Essence where he recounted these travels in real time. A lot of what he was saying conflicted the actual book. Now, Jay Shetty's lawyers wrote to The Guardian, who actually published the article that this journalist was writing, writing and claimed that, yes, he did come across monks as a youth, but that those interactions weren't meaningful like the one he had later. So they're sort of trying to like refill in bits of the story. That's just not the way he told the story. If you'd said, I'd been around monks all this time, and then I met another monk and he made me have an epiphany, it wouldn't sound the way he told it, which is that I met this monk and he blew my mind, and it's as if that had never happened before. Now, obviously, Jay Shetty's publicist team was the one who hired this journalist originally to write the piece to help promote the book, but when it turned into something else, they tried their best to kill it. So the journalist then starts looking into his life coaching school. Remember, they charged £7,400 to get a certificate at the end, which they claim is the equivalent of a university degree. Now, we all know a university degree, you can go and get a fucking job with, you can then make money out of, do you know, allegedly. Even that's bullshit these days. But they are recognised by places of business as an official qualification that allows you to get a job. And on his website, Shetty claims that the certification school is approved by Ofqual, which is a governing body that regulates all exams in schools in England. And it says that students would then be able to progress to a top-up degree, like a master's programme or MBA, at many universities in the UK and overseas. He listed the universities of Derby, Anglia Ruskin, the University of Buckingham, and the University of Chichester as universities where students would be eligible to progress to a top-up degree and await to gain a full undergraduate degree by combining Jay Shetty's certification school diploma with only 1 year of full-time study. But John McDermott, the journalist who was investigating this, went to Ofqual, and the spokesperson wrote that the organisation would be contacting the school to have the references of Ofqual removed from their website because it does not regulate Jay Shetty's school's accreditations at all. So again, he's talking bollocks. And when you consider how many people view Jay Shetty as an authority on how to live your life and trust every word he says, this is mental. To just go on your own website and just write flagrantly like, yeah, this is signed off by these people, just without a fucking care in the world that anyone would ever check anything you're saying. Think about how normal people think, how you and I would think about that. We wouldn't write that. It's one thing lying a little bit to get your first job. It's another thing when you've got so many people spending $7,500 per course believing everything you're saying, and you're doing it on the say-so of, oh, these people classify everything as legit. When you consider if what he's saying is true, that there's 1,600 people bought this course and that he's made roughly 12 million quid on that. So the journalist then contacts the universities listed on the website, and they denied any connection with Jay Shetty's school. Fuck me, mate. In fact, the University of Chichester, the communications officer, said in an interview, I'm very unhappy that we are included on the website. We are unsure as to why we are being mentioned, and we will be immediately asking to get our names taken off. Since the article was published, the universities have been removed from the website. So that is an acknowledgement that it was complete and utter bullshit, even. Imagine you spent $7,500 of your hard-earned money on this. So the journalist digs a little deeper and he goes and rings up one of the advisors for a half an hour introductory call to the Jay Shetty Certification School. That's where he learned how much it cost and what it is about, which is becoming a fully qualified life coach. So the guy on the call claimed that he'd done the course himself and that through it, he was able to make $10,000 a month doing the course. Of course, the journalist then asks, well, if you're making that kind of money, why the fuck are you on the call to me selling the course? Why aren't you off being a fucking life coach to all these people? He says he made just as much money working as an enrollment advisor for Jay Shetty as he would going off and being a life coach anyway, because he was working on commission. Now that does make me wonder, if he did the course, made fuck all money as a life coach, and realized the only way he was going to make any money was by working for Jay Shetty, working on commission, and the only way you can get commission is if you tell the people who are going to buy the course that it's great and you'll make all this money, when in actual fact, you'll just end up selling the fucking course again for Jay Shetty. If any of these fucking YouTubers or podcasters tell you they've got all of the answers, be very skeptical. The advisor said, it really aligns with my purpose. You can hear the script he's reading from, can't you? With life coaching, I impact one person. Oh, I can be here and help people like you who are going to go on and impact thousands of people. Do you know what I imagine right now? I imagine him, he's got the phone down and he's doing the fucking what? Wolf of Wall Street shit. Now, to be fair, if you're selling something that actually helps people, it may not have that bad of consequences. But if you're selling psychological help, this could be disastrous if you're not actually qualified and no one is signing off on anything you're saying. Here's a promo video that Jay made to get people to enroll on the course.
I want you to have the same incredible opportunity to harness your potential that I've enjoyed in my own life.
Has anyone ever said, nah, I don't really want to harness my potential? It's one of those things that anyone is going to be like, yeah, sounds interesting.
The first thing to note as we embark on our journey to learn about the roles and processes that a life and success coach apply is that it is not a unilateral process.
Oh, I love that. Because if there's one thing that you can measure and actually track progress of, it's unilateral processes. The more gray and vague it is, the harder to realize if it's actually worth anything.
The relationship is symbiotic. This means that together as a coach and client, we learn from each other.
Yeah, I can imagine that would go down well when someone sits in front of me and goes, ready for the life coaching? And I thought you were teaching us today, because it's not all me, symbiotic. Do you know what I mean? We're going to learn from each other, so you can take it today.
So what is life and success coaching?
I'm waiting to find out. We've been a minute into this video. You still not put his finger on it.
From experience, I know that everyone has a different definition and expectation of what a life coach is and what they do.
I'm still waiting on you telling me, bro. There's another sentence gone by.
The crux is that a life or success coach helps people discover their best self.
By doing what? Ready and waiting. Any minute now.
Herein already lies an important distinction.
Well, you've been waffling for an hour and a half now, so come on, get to it.
A life coach views a client's challenges and potential objectively as a third party.
Well, yeah, you would do, because you're not living their life, bro.
Life coaches act as a mirror, reflecting to clients the answers to find within them.
I've never known someone say so much and actually say so little. What do you do? Spit it out.
I always say, you're not providing answers.
I'm not providing answers. What do you want from me? I'm a life coach. This is mental. This, like, I can't believe people fall for it, you know.
You're guiding clients to discover their own answers.
Without me, you wouldn't be able to find your own answers. With me, you will find your own answers through you doing the work that I'm watching as a third party. It's not about me. We'll get there together through you on your own as I watch, getting paid. And that's a life coach, in case you're wondering. It's quite easy, this. I feel like I'm ready. If you would like to enroll in the True Geordie Life Coaching process, links in the description below. £50,000 per course, unfortunately. But if you want results through you doing the work while I watch, that's going to cost you.
Coach appreciates that each client is unique. They start at different places.
You can't track it. Everyone's different. Stop putting expectations on me as a coach. You're all different. Just because someone else got results doesn't mean you will.
They move at different paces. They want something different.
We're all different. Everything's different. Nothing is the same. And nothing changes by staying the same. And that's something that you've got to work out on your own. I can't hold your hand.
They are the experts and change makers.
They're already experts. They don't need our help. I don't even know why. People paid 7,400 quid for this shite. How does this happen? I'm the dumbest podcaster, because I could have been doing this shit years ago. I was trying to make you all, like, entertained and help your mental health with little stories and stuff. I'd have a fucking Ferrari.
The conductor of their own orchestra.
You're the conductor of your own orchestra. I'm just in the audience cheering. This is a great song.
The life coach is like the sound and light technician in the background, always making sure that the best conditions exist to create the most awesome result.
This is the most bollocks I've ever listened to.
Life coach and have the most profound influence on a receptive client's life.
But if you're not receptive, this isn't going anywhere. And maybe that's on you. Maybe you're the problem.
They can work with almost anybody in any field.
I can work with anyone. Anyone with money, absolutely, no problem. You got the 7.5K, I'm ready. The price just went up, sorry.
Leaders, athletes, business people, and entrepreneurs, to celebrities.
Anyone with loads of money. So someone's done a little review of the course. Let's see what they got out of it.
So once you have finished all the modules, that you will move on to the fun part, which is the unsupervised coaching. Like, at the beginning, I definitely felt a little bit of imposter syndrome, which is makes me feel like, oh, I only finished all the modules. How can I coach others?
I thought that was the point of it. You do the learning, you're ready to be a life coach. Turns out she got ready to be a life coach and felt like she was an imposter. I mean, if that's not a bad sign of the course, I don't know what the fuck is. To be a life coach, should you not have had a fucking life? People who are actual life coaches should be in their 50s and 60s, who've got years, decades of experience in many different fields, who can offer good, well-rounded advice for life. You're not going to get that by doing a poxy little course like this. No wonder she felt like a fucking imposter. You are one. This idea that Jay Shetty's got all the answers and you're going to get them for $7,500. Man, come off it. The guy's a fucking podcaster.
But that was such a normal thing to feel, because like after I talked to my peers, basically all of us feel the same way.
Okay, so you've all done the course and you all feel like imposters. Imagine my shock. Not one of them has gone out there and said, actually, I'm killing the game. I feel like I'm fully ready to do this after that course. Wow.
Yeah, I definitely felt in the beginning I wasn't like ready enough to do it. But at the same time, you would never be ready to do anything in your life. You just gotta go do it.
No, sometimes you are ready. Actually, that's bollocks. And this is a life coach.
Even though I didn't know really what I was doing or how am I really supposed to coach my clients.
She paid all this money and she just said, I didn't know what I was doing or how I was supposed to coach my clients. This is mental. Now, this might just be a one-off. I don't know. Maybe this fucking course is fantastic and she's just one person. But fuck me. It doesn't look good. Like,
was it expensive? Yes, it was. But is it worth to join it? I think so.
Do you know when you got that sunken cost fallacy where you're like, yeah, that was so worth it. So here's a screenshot from a person who received these messages from Jay Shetty's Instagram account. It's Raya from Jay's team messaging from Jay Shetty's Instagram account, claiming that they've been working with Jay, helping people unlock their passion and turn it into a real income that they can earn from home. You look at the date, people were working from home a lot back then, remember? Today, Jay is looking for a few more students to work with us, just a few. She's got an exclusive amount left to get in on the course if you're lucky enough. Is it okay to ask you a couple of questions to help us work out if you're a good case for Jay? So the person replies, yeah, go ahead with your questions. And Jay's team member, Rhea, says, to work with Jay, we'll need to know, can you spare 2 or 3 hours a week? And how old are you? So the person replies, yes, I'm 29. And the messages keep continuing. Jay's next question is a bit broader. Would you mind sharing how much income per month you're making right now? They get straight to the fucking point. And obviously, by the way, how much income would you, and the conversation goes from there, you can imagine. The point is this is literally how they are using Jay's social media to reach out to get these people to part with their hard-earned money. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you're claiming that you've got the sort of morality of a monk and you're all spiritual, using your social media accounts to get people to part with their money like that, it's not really very monk-like. I'm not an expert, just a salesman, aren't you? And look, there's nothing wrong with that. Be a salesman, but be honest about it. And interestingly, Jay Shetty's ex-girlfriend is a psychotherapist of 13 years. And actually is the head of mental health services at a university in the UK. And she spoke on record of The Guardian. And she's confirmed his story is heavily embellished. She said, my issue as a mental health professional is that Shetty has misrepresented his persona, his knowledge, and his credentials. Misinforming others is not only unethical, it is potentially harmful to vulnerable people. She's also said that she also grew up in the ISKCON faith and saw Shetty join in his teenage years. Further confirming, you know, the conflicting reports of, did you meet a monk later on or did you grow up within the faith?
Jay Shetty has claimed that he did behavioural science at Cass University, and for the entire time that he's developed his certification programme in coaching, he has claimed this online. He has recently, however, changed this to management science.
Bit of a brain fart that day. I just forgot what degree I did. It can happen.
I was with him actually when he was at university. He did business and management science. This is problematic because he developed a coaching school that is an accredited coaching school via the Association for Coaching. Now, that coaching association, just like every other regulatory body, has a code of conduct, ethical guidelines and things like that that members should be adhering to. And one of those is integrity. And it raised a question to me, which is, well, but maybe he doesn't actually do life coaching, or maybe he isn't directly involved in the teaching or the life coaching itself, and he's just the CEO of a company and his own business. However, this is not true.
Question 7. Will I be learning the exact coaching strategy and tools used by Jay Shetty with his coaching clients? The answer is yes. As a Jay Shetty coach, you'll be learning the exact same strategies I use with my clients and my coaching.
This is wild, man. This is wild.
We've got someone who doesn't have the qualifications that he claimed. He misrepresented his degree, and then he hasn't done or hasn't shown online that he has done life coaching himself, meaning trained in life coaching. He has his own claims that he developed some sort of methodology from his time in India. He has not been adhering to the codes of conduct that his very own school must adhere to be a member of.
Wow.
The first thing he talks about is the definition of a therapist.
A therapist, like a life coach, wants to help their clients move forward. Their objectives and approaches are very different, though. The foundation of therapy is based
on... This guy's such a genius salesman, man.
...type of dysfunction, such as a therapist identifying schizophrenia or a personality disorder, and help the person recover their normal functions by reducing the symptoms. Therefore, a therapist helps a patient return to their cognitive and emotional baseline, or the way they used to feel, think, and act.
He states that therapists identify, diagnose, and cure types of dysfunction, such as a therapist will identify disorders like schizophrenia and personality disorders and help them go back to normal functioning. He also uses the word patient instead of client. We have to remember that this person is teaching students to become life coaches, to work with potentially vulnerable individuals. This information, his definition of a therapist, is completely incorrect. It's wrong.
Even I know that, just based on the fact that I know people who've had mental health issues. This idea that a therapist can take someone from schizophrenic to baseline like they were before is mental.
We as therapists do not cure mental health.
Yeah.
We do not diagnose mental health issues. We can sometimes identify possibilities of mental health diagnoses, but we do not diagnose and we do not cure.
And that's the thing is, look at the confidence of which he says wrong information. That's how they get people roped in, because vulnerable people mistake confidence for competence. And that is where the sale clinches it every single time. What he said there is so wrong, and he said it so confidently. It's unbelievable. So look, I don't want to overdo this video, because there's probably good in this man, and I'm sure that he has helped people. And is it a crime for him to make money? Like, is that a bad thing? Not necessarily. Like, and if he is helping people, then great. There is some problems with what's going on here, for sure. His whole backstory is, oh, I traded in the high life for, you know, being a monk in spirituality, and then you're literally having your team outreach to get money out of people, and then we're seeing that the things that you said the course is backed up by were false. And when you're presenting yourself as an authority in mental health, when his ex, who really is an authority in mental health, has exposed that he's talking absolute bollocks a lot of the time, well, then we've got a problem, because millions upon millions of people listen to him and take every word he says as the truth. I'll give you an example. He interviewed Jada Pinkett Smith, who, as we all know, publicly destroyed her husband. Like, this was a man who was held up as Hollywood's leading man, a ladies' man. Men wanted to be him, women wanted to be with him. And Jada never was the A-side. She was always the backside, right? And she is an arse, so that actually really works. She publicly told everyone she cheated on him. And we've all seen the clip. Will sat there looking like he's going to burst into tears while she talks about going with a younger man who was living under Will Smith's roof. Now you're thinking, that's a piece of shit move. Surely in an interview situation, she'll be challenged on that. This is how Jay Shetty handled it.
When someone's trying to do deep inner healing work,
yeah,
actually more often than not, their external way will not make sense.
Oh yeah, for
because
sure.
Because it literally looks like you're setting yourself up to fail.
What he's doing is saying, it's all right that you acted like an asshole.
You dismantle the ego, or you're really trying to deconstruct the false identities that we all build up, me included, all of us. Like, when that is there and it's being deconstructed, someone would look at you and be like, why would you do that? Like,
No. What we're saying is, why would you do that publicly? By all means, have a private conversation with your husband, but don't destroy him in front of the world, because that'll end up with him being such a wreck that, I don't know, he tries to punch someone in an award ceremony.
I just want to highlight, and I want you to share about that the intention was healing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know this because we were talking about it.
Like, yeah.
The intention wasn't to...
Yeah, it wasn't to save face. And yeah, it surely... Yeah.
The intention was to make sure that you were the alpha of the relationship and to destroy him. That was the intention. And look, this interview, like many other interviews with Jay, and which is why he gets all of these A-listers, aside from the fact that he's in with that group, are softball as fuck. And he allows all of this garbage behavior. He doesn't call out anything. Now, in my opinion, that's unhealthy. But apparently, oh, it's all love. It's all love. Well, you know what love is? Love is the fucking truth. And the way he just panders to the ego of Jada is so bad. And it's terrible interviewing. He's literally praising her and making excuses for toxic behavior, and that's not okay. But it's fine, because thanks for the views. Where's the fucking credibility in podcasting gone? So when I originally looked into Jay, I thought he was just this nice, happy-go-lucky podcaster spreading positivity. The more I look into it, the worse it gets. And I don't really know what the truth is. Who is the real Jay Shetty? And for him to just ignore this until it blows over is an option. But I think if he really cares about his credibility, he should address it, either on his own channel, or he's more than welcome to come on here. I'll interview him and I'll give him a worthy interviewer to sit in front of him and to challenge him, because a lot of this really should be addressed, in my opinion. Let me know what you think in the comments below. If you haven't already, hit that like button, subscribe to the True Geordie YouTube channel. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you on the next one.